against you. You only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading for this same Lord's Day is from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with the 15th verse. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Out of reverence for the Holy Gospel, please rise. The Holy Gospel reading according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. And Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, greetings to you from your brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the circuit. I have extended a greeting to them from you, and they have in turn desired that I would then greet you. So there is that greeting from you. And also, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the centuries, since Jesus first told this parable, many pastors and teachers have only focused on the one son, the younger son, the prodigal son. Yet the way that Jesus begins this parable, he says right at the start, there are two sons. There was a man who had two sons. It's right there in verse 11. Then he continues to tell this story in two parts. First, dealing with the younger son, the prodigal son, the one who ran from home. And then also the older son, the one who refused to go in when his brother had returned. I want to challenge you tonight to identify with not one, but with both of these sons in this parable. Often we think of Rembrandt, who painted his famous painting, Return of the Prodigal Son. Many believe that when he painted this work, he pictured himself as the younger son, being greeted by his father's open arms. But instead, I want you to think along the lines of Shakespeare, who wrote in his play Henry IV as though from the perspective of both sons. Now it is your turn. If there is someone here tonight who has squandered the father's love, who has ran off to go and do the things that you wanted to do, if you have ever hit rock bottom, if you know what it is to eat from the pig pen, you are the younger son. And if there's someone here who knows what it means to come to your senses and to long for hope and to hope that God still has a bit of mercy for you, you are the younger son. To all the prodigals here, all the mercy beggars, Jesus wants you to know that he desires for you to return. Jesus wants you to know that like the father in the story, he is willing to humiliate himself for you. Humiliate himself, even though you might be dirty, shoeless, and just as you are without one plea. And thinking along the lines of shoeless tonight, we think of the usual text for this evening, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Jesus was willing to humiliate himself for them. That same night that he gave them his Lord's Supper, the first time that he had that supper with them, that he instituted it, he wrapped his own tunic around himself and washed his disciples' feet. There is nothing you've done that is so evil that he cannot forgive you. You can go home again. He has redeemed you. He has saved you. And he is there waiting to open his arms and greeting you, just like the father in that story. But more than that, the whole company of heaven rejoices when a sinner repents and turns back to the Lord. But the older son is among us here tonight too. We often remember the younger son, the prodigal son, but we often forget that this parable was spoken to the older sons. That is, the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the scribes. Luke begins the parable in this way. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. So this parable then is also for the good and upright among us as well. Those who have continued to stay in the Father's house. If there is someone here whose relationship with Jesus has become more a got to than a get to, you are the older son. If there is someone here who has been a dutiful member of the church family for so long that you have forgotten the wonder of God's forgiveness through Christ, you are the older son. And if you've done so much in working for the house of the Lord that you have a hard time welcoming somebody in off the streets, somebody hearing God's love for them for the first time, you are the older son. Within each of us is the older son, the Pharisee or scribe who wants to believe that we've been able to keep the Ten Commandments. Yeah, sure, with a few errors here or there. But that's why we have Lent. That's why we have those extra good things that we do. Extra Bible studies. Extra going to Bible classes. Extra Bible reading. To make up for those little imperfections. And frankly, it grates on us. It grates on us when somebody gets in on God's mercy for them. We raise our eyebrows when we read in the newspaper the name of someone that we thought was Christian, and we say, I thought he or she was a Christian, when we read about what they have done. We read such things and think such things as though we could be always saints and never sinners. How the Father works in this story to get the older son into the party for his younger son. How he takes insult and bitterness and even anger. For this son, too, the Father waits. He waits for the self-righteous to eat with sinners and so be counted as one of them. Now, as I was preparing the sermon for this evening, I'm adding to it from what I've spoken to the other pastor or the other churches in the circuit, because I found this reading as I was reading through it this afternoon, a reading from C.F.W. Walther. As great as the distinction between communicants and civil life may be, in the Holy Supper all distinctions evaporate. We are all the same, and that we each eat the same earthly and heavenly bread and drink, the same earthly and heavenly drink. In this meal, the subject and his king, the slave and his master, the beggar and the rich, the child and the old man, the wife and the husband, the simple and the learned, truly all communicants stand as the same poor sinners and beggars, hungry and thirsty for grace. Although one may appear in rough apron, while another in velvet and satin, adorned with gold and pearls, when they depart, all take with them that for which they hunger and thirst, Christ's blood and righteousness as their beauty and glorious dress. No one receives a better food and better drink than the other. All receive the same Jesus, and with him the same righteousness. That is the very supper that our Lord instituted that night so many years ago, that Monday, Thursday, with his disciples before his death on that Good Friday to follow. Jesus doesn't say how our parable for tonight ends. But we know that his merciful nature has paid for the sins of not only the younger son, but also the older son. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. But when we go to heaven, we shall find Jesus with open arms welcoming us as sinners who have repented. He and the full company of heaven, because he went to the cross that Good Friday night so many years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.